Hello and welcome to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Reuter, and this podcast is brought to you by thelegendarychiropractor.com, an interactive and immersive virtual platform for prospective chiropractic students, current chiropractic students, recent chiropractic school graduates, and even veteran doctors of chiropractic out in the field wanting just a little bit more from this profession. I hope that you enjoy today's episode, and if you do, be sure to share with a friend, leave us a rate, leave us a review, and also be sure to subscribe to get more. In today's episode, we're talking about the unity of and within the chiropractic profession, where to begin and how to achieve such a task. All here on the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast, I'm your host, Johnny Reuter, and today's guest, Dr. Travis Corcoran. Sweet. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. Oh, man, this is so fun. We had a couple comments, Doc, on the feed of saying, like, this is in prime time adjusting hours. I'm not going to see it live, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's all good, right? This all replays. You can watch this later. Head to the Legendary Chiropractor on Facebook. Check it out. It's all good. No worries at all. Dr. Travis Corcoran and I are sitting down today for the second season in a row. And we're just going to be discussing chiropractic. That's really like the number one thing I like to have Dr. Travis on here for, is we really get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, the art, science, philosophy, but we also take a bird's eye view of like, hey, what is the current state of chiropractic, right? Let's take a step back and say, where are we as a profession? And then how can we advance ourselves while working together? And that's really what the entirety of this podcast is about, what the entirety of the Legendary Chiropractor platform is about. And I think Dr. Travis is going to bring tremendous value to today's episode, just like he did the first time we talked about the first three liberal arts. And he's going to bring up that again, and we're going to have a nice discussion about the review from our last conversation that we had to catch people up and get people up to speed. But without further ado, Doc, before we get into anything crazy and, you know, start duking it out here with a convo, but I want to thank our initial sponsors here. So stick around with us. I want to also share this and make this go viral on Facebook while we thank our initial sponsors. So be sure to stay tuned, and we will be back in a jiffy. To Inspire Women is the elite boutique coaching company for chiropractors who are looking to live life and run business in a way that is personal, unique, and authentic. They focus on business systems and money mindset mastery so you can pay down debt, be more profitable, and serve more people. Their goal is to empower you to achieve success by your own rules and your own definition. Head to toinspirewomen.com now, because they know there's a better way. Chiro HD. Superior cloud-based practice management software. Chiro HD is a user-friendly all-in-one EHR solution built with one mission: to help you run your practice like a boss. Learn more at chirohd.com. Total Clinic Solutions is your go-to source for purchasing both brand new and refurbished chiropractic equipment, as well as phone support for repairs and maintenance. Call Derek and allow him to combine your wishes and his 23 years of chiropractic equipment expertise to find what's best for you and your patients at 704-622-4089, or head to totalclinicsolutions.com now. It's time that chiropractors look beyond spinal alignments and measure the nerve connections that keep our patients feeling strong and performing at their peak. CLA designed the Insight scanning technologies to transform exams and generate powerful reports that give practitioners the certainty they have been searching for. Learn how CLA has partnered with practices around the world by going to insightcla.com. Spinal hygiene products are designed to educate your patients on the importance of lifetime spinal care. To learn more about how spinal hygiene products work and to download the patient education material for free, visit spinalhygiene.co. Again, that's spinalhygiene.co. Easily share your passion for chiropractic
and look good doing it with Above Down Apparel, offering a premium lineup of principled apparel that's impossibly soft, sustainably sourced, and chiropractic AF. Visit abovedown.co and follow them on Instagram to learn more and score yourself some sweet Cairo swag. SCED is the all-in-one system that allows for amazing control and flexibility of your scheduling. Yes, your next new hire. Every aspect of when and where you service your customers is at your command. SCED is tightly integrated with your existing EHR system. This software was made by a chiropractor specifically for chiropractic. No joke. Go check out their latest care plan feature by heading to go.sced.life/legendarypod. Health Business Builders covers every aspect of building a health business both online and in a brick and mortar environment. Dr. Dan Sullivan and Dr. Dave Tuhill and their team will help you on a regular basis to develop an in-depth strategy, plan, and accountability to not only assemble a plan, but also make it happen. Head to healthbusinessbuilders.com so they can help you get the results you never thought were possible. Thank you for allowing this brief disruption to take place. And now back to the program. Yep, absolutely. So welcome back, everybody, to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. We are here. We are having a great, great Friday. I have my flannel Friday on. We had our holiday party at our office today, and we are loving life and just appreciating being around this holiday season. We are live now with Dr. Travis Corcoran, and for those of you who are not familiar with who Dr. Travis is, I'm going to give him the floor to kind of introduce himself, share a little bit about how he got into chiropractic, and then, Doc, anything else that you want to share that that you think is necessary to set the groundwork for our conversation today? Go ahead.
I usually like to keep it pretty short about how I got into chiropractic because it's not as big of a deal as chiropractic itself. That's what I prefer to talk about. But in a nutshell, and in a way that's probably appropriate to what we'll be discussing, is I hurt my low back and someone convinced me to go to a chiropractor against my better judgment or lack of judgment. And I was very fortunate that the chiropractor I saw was very principled and had an incredible, and you've heard me talk about this before, an incredible understanding of the profession, not just knowledge, right, which is can be correct or incorrect, but she had the knowledge and the understanding of chiropractic's principles and abuse. And being a graduate university with a degree in philosophy, it really appealed to me. I think I mentioned this before. I was very skeptical and I was like a horrible patient. I mean, I was interrogating this poor woman who was like fresh out of chiropractic school and really not trying to understand chiropractic, but really to prove her wrong. But despite all my logic and reasoning, I couldn't find a single contradiction, not a single fallacy. And I thought, man, this chiropractic thing is, you know, like everyone says, how come not everyone's heard of this, right? And so really it was 4 months after my first adjustment that I was in chiropractic school. Awesome. And that's basically how I became a chiropractor. She didn't show me a single double-blind study, or she didn't spizz me up and give me hugs and love and light. She basically appealed to my sense of reason. She explained to me in a very logical, consistent way, the laws of anatomy and physiology, which my minor was in biology, so it wasn't that much of a stretch. And like I said, there was no contradictions, no errors. She defined her terms. And to me, that's how, if you're going to convince me of something, that's how you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Like the appeal to emotion doesn't work really well. And I mean, I do love science. Science comes from the Latin sciare, which means knowledge. And knowledge is always changing. Science is always changing, right? Yeah. So that's how I became a chiropractor. And and I should give her a shout out, Tiffany Juergens Clark. And my life has ever since then been completely changed for the better.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for that brief introduction. And Doc, if you haven't, or not Doc, everyone watching, if you haven't yet seen the first video that Dr. Travis Corcoran and I did, we also just released it on audio podcast, so you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. But go listen to it, because he shares a little bit more about his backstory, but we also get into what we're going to talk more about today and kind of go on a deeper level of like, hey, how do we now apply this to the profession as a whole, right? Now that we have the understanding, we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge, now how do we actually, what's the application of this in terms of our profession and improving our profession from here on out? And I do want to say that I wrote down confidence and certainty lead to understanding. And I firmly believe that's where you were, you know, kind of captivated by this whole thing, right? This doc had confidence, and even though she was fresh out of school, you pressured her, but you also probably made her a better doctor, right? You made her more confident and certain in what she did. And then it led to you saying, ah, I get this, right? Like, I understand it, right? And it's like, I think that really allows it to sink in. Go ahead.
Maybe. She became a better doctor. And I agree that there's a link between confidence, certainty, and understanding. But I would turn it around. I wouldn't say that confidence and certainty necessarily lead to understanding. I'm the other way. When I understand something, like I truly understand it, man, then I'm very confident and certain when I speak about it. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that was the same for her. Like I said, her knowledge, okay, that's great, but knowledge is easy to come by. It was her understanding of what she knew. Mm-hmm. I think that's what gave her such confidence and certainty to withstand like the abrasive barrage from a young jerk, I would say. And so I would say the other way around. I know they're definitely linked, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people with no understanding that are equally confident and certain.
It's true.
Zero understanding.
Right.
They haven't used logic, right? Logic, a system. Yeah, the systematic reasoning according to strict principles. Like, they haven't used that. They just have this conviction bias. They feel really strong. Their emotions, they're very in it, and they're very passionate. And that's quite good, but if you're wrong, or what you believe in is wrong, it can lead to some destructive things. So confidence and certainty can come from a lot of passion too, but like some of the most constructive confidence and certainty, I think, comes from knowledge and then understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with flipping that around. I might have wrote it down too quick. But I want to go into our review session of last discussion, right? Talk to us a little bit about those first three liberal arts: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And then we're going to apply them to our topic, our hot topic of today, which is uniting this profession, right? And within the chiropractic profession, uniting us in order to achieve better success for the public and ourselves as a profession. Yeah. So we're going to talk about where to begin. We're going to talk about how we think we should do that. But I want people to understand, you know, those three liberal arts first, so we have a good understanding and application of where we're coming from.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like we talked about, I would really recommend, like you said, watch that first video we did. But in short, yeah, the first of the seven liberal arts, or the first, I only talked about the first three as we spoke about on the last time. And that is knowledge, understanding, wisdom, or in more classical terms, grammar, logic, rhetoric. But for this new age millennial, I would say input, processing, and output. And so those are necessary to at least be conversant in how this works and how it's not just naturally how our mind works. So let's, to better understand it, if we took one of those elements away so that you can see how destructive that would be. So the first liberal art, grammar, or defining your terms, or knowledge, basically associating a concept or an observation with a title or a name, right? So if you don't properly define your terms, okay, where does it go from there? You're just shouting at each other, right? So you understand the importance of defining your terms, right? My computer doesn't work if I hit the letter J but it really means W. It's only going to work when J means J or P means P, 1 means 1, right? And it's no different when you and I are speaking to each other, that when we talk about a spinal bone, we're both talking about the bone and not the muscle, right? We define our terms. So that's necessary. That's the first liberal art. And then the second one is understanding. And that's where basically, or logic, like I said, the systematic reasoning conducted according to strict principles, right? And now imagine you're not using logic. Like when you come to understand something, you have this knowledge and you want, and then someone creates a statement or an argument, and you want to know if that statement or argument is inductively strong or deductively valid, right? Then you need to understand the tools of logic and its operators or its principles. And right now, I think that's the biggest problem in the profession and probably in the world at large. But chiropractic is such a great reflection of the world, right, the state of affairs in this profession. So many wonderful things and then so many crazy things that are just unnecessary. So as an example, like you even using the first liberal art in the definition of logic, right? Systematic reasoning conducted according to strict principles. Let me give you an example. If someone does not know what principles are, well, then how would they ever study logic if you don't even understand the words that define logic? As an example, I actually have here, someone just sent it to me today, so I was kind of reading it and having a good laugh. This is, I hate to say this, I'm going to say this about this organization, but not about any individuals, okay? I'll keep it diplomatic. But this is a glaring problem. The WFC has released this thing, like there are 20 principles. They call it 20 principles. Let me read to you just the first two or three words of each principle, and you tell me if these are principles. Okay? Now remember, principles are fundamental truths useful in a system or chain of reason. Fundamental truths. Here's how their principles start. I'm going to read, and this will go quick. 1. We envision blank. We are driven by. We believe that. We maintain that. We champion this. We promote this. We are committed to. We acknowledge. We support. We believe. We believe. A lot of believers. We celebrate. We believe. Again, we serve. We support. We believe. We are committed. This is an ideology called principles. So there's already massive confusion on what claims to be this incredible organization for our profession. Right? That they don't even know what a principle is, yet they have 20 of these things, these ideologies, called principles, which are not principles. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's to even get into a discussion about understanding, they can't define their terms. Right? Mm-hmm. So can't even really get into logic or understanding. But let's say we do. Let's say we're defining our terms. We're very conversant with the five operators of logic: conjunction, disjunction, conditional, negation, biconditional. Let's say we're good there. Then we get into the third liberal art, basically communication or rhetoric or wisdom. Wisdom, the application of knowledge and understanding. Imagine you have all this knowledge and understanding, but your communication style is very abrasive. Right? Or aggressive. You don't build good rapport. It's not effective or influential. Or worse yet, like many of the politicians, inside chiropractic, outside chiropractic, just politicians in general, unfortunately, many of them are very good at the rhetoric. And they have a strong lack in the other two liberal arts, knowledge and understanding, usually understanding. That's why I focus so much on understanding. Because everyone's rich with knowledge, mm-hmm. but they're lacking the tools to systematically evaluate it. Knowledge is so easy to come by in this age. This is the age of information. Every day I wake up and pray that we're going to enter the age of understanding. But right now we're still in the age of a lot of information. And we like to scream about what we know with a lot of passion. It would just be so much more effective if we understood what we knew. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope for. that we get through this age of information, which we're clearly in, and that we enter the age of understanding. Because that's when we'll all get along. That's a lot of people do talk about unity, but it's only on their terms, and they're never really asking questions. They're just making declarative statements. Unfortunately, some of those are very ad hominem, like attack. But this is how, in a relationship, people come together. You ask, you search for an understanding of one another, right? Mm-hmm. And in chiropractic, there should be, and there is on many people's part, a very legitimate and sincere, a genuine effort to understand the principles and objectives. And I acknowledge and admire the people that do that. And often, like many of us, we get frustrated with those who have a lot of knowledge and just like to talk a lot about it. They don't ask questions. They just condemn. It's really funny. It's one of my favorite fallacies, the tu quoque, or projection, or appeal to hypocrisy. They often state of their perceived opponent what they're actually doing, mm-hmm. right? They'll call the other side dogmatic, religious, whatever. But I mean, unfortunately, one of the most dogmatic groups in our profession is the scientism at the moment. Like we were saying earlier on the call, science. I spoke about this at great length at the UCA conference with a great analogy, if you'll hear me out.
I will.
Now that we've covered we've reviewed last time, and it was such a great conference with amazing people, and I think I mentioned her last time, Melissa Sanford, like a workhorse for this profession, right? They had a theme for the conference. It was called A Place to Call Home. And so a lot of people were up there like, hey, this conference is our home or whatever. And I really got thinking like more, I'm an idealist. I'm thinking of the whole profession, right? The profession is my home. And a home should be built with a strong foundation, a strong base. And so I just kind of pulled the audience like, who thinks science is the base? Who thinks philosophy is the base? Who thinks the art, right? And then a couple different hands go up. I would say they're all wrong. And that is right now probably the biggest problem in chiropractic and in healthcare in general, is that people want to base any form of healthcare or anything on evidence or science. Now hear me out. You know, I know that sounds like blasphemy, but I'm not. I love evidence and I love science, but it's all acquired through observation, through the senses. And as we know, science is always changing. You know. It's not the geocentric model. We have the heliocentric model, right? And science is always changing. We're always learning, and it should change as we learn, right? And as our understanding increases. So would you really want to build your house on a foundation that's constantly changing and shifting? That is a horrible base. I do love evidence, and I do love science. My problem is the word base. I would never base my decisions on science. They should be supported by science and supported by evidence. They may even conform to the evidence. But the basis of our profession is and always has been, and I think we're losing it, but it should be, is logic and reasoning. Because logic and reasoning is the foundation and base by which our principles and philosophy is validated. It is the foundation and base by which our research and science is directed, and it is the foundation and base by which our techniques are developed. The techniques should be developed based on reason, right? Not on emotion, like some of the spiritualistic extreme performance artists with all the flair on their adjustment. I mean, that makes for great videos, but it's not really helping the profession. And it's equally the same with those who base it on science, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not science if you can't question it and change it. Then it's a religion. Mm-hmm. And now that, I think, and the reason I'm speaking about this, because we want to talk about unity in the profession. Well, in order to understand it, you need to talk about what's preventing the unity. Why don't we have it? Mm-hmm. Like, just talking about unity is what I'd love to do, because it's very romantic and nice, and we'd all like to get along. But we need to make a very critical observation of why that's not happening. I think. Mm-hmm. And I'll reiterate it again. It is a lack of logic and reasoning. That is the basis. The art, science, and philosophy are very important. But those are the walls, right? And the way I see it, chiropractic's the profession. And it's a giant castle. And Johnny Reuter lives there, Travis Corcoran lives there, and we all have our individual rooms. But when it comes time for like a big chiropractic conference, that's when we all meet in the living room or the kitchen or whatever, right? This house, the foundation of our house, our profession, is reason. That's it. Mm-hmm. And the walls that hold the whole thing up, that's the science, the art, the philosophy. We all hear about the three-legged stool. I would call them the walls. And in your room, you might have a lot of green books. In my room, I have a lot of blue books. And in your room, you do this technique. And in my room, I do this technique. And we're all in the same home, which is on a very stable, reliable base. And that is reason and logic. And it is being neglected and deteriorating rapidly because so many people are focused on the science and evidence. Many are focused on the principles and philosophy, and many are focused on the technique. But all three of them are 100% dependent upon reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Doc. And I actually want to get into that a little further of understanding why, like, how do we apply this reason? Is there a chiropractic reasoning that we should be looking at, right? And how do we then apply that to now unification? Because I liked your analogy, the house, the castle, I love that. I think that's brilliant. Why? Because it includes everything and everybody. And that is one thing that we have a really tough time doing in this profession, is including everybody, no matter what. Like, if you go, that's why there are 400 techniques and there are about 200 chiropractic conferences, because, yeah, you know, everyone, you know, and this castle, if we want to talk about a castle, right? How many kitchens are in the castle, right? Like, there's probably, yeah, there's probably a lot of kitchens and living rooms in the castle.
A ballroom, yeah. A kitchen,
exactly. But it's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. And I'm not saying all of the same conversations need to be taking place at these different conferences, because those times at seminars and conferences are places to be around and where you should go to be around like-minded people and kind of energize yourself with chiropractic spiz and whatnot. That's what they're there for. That's the point of them. Go ahead.
Yeah. And if really you're at those conferences and there's someone that, like I always say, perceived opponent, that's the opportunity to get to meet them and try to develop an understanding. I was at a conference, I've been at many conferences, and I've had some of the best conversations with people who've actually perceived me as an opponent, but the moment we start talking, they understand that we have way more, once they understand, we actually are very much in alignment. Everyone in their own way wants the profession to grow and to be, you know, and those that are who like genuinely care about the profession, there are many who say they do, but it's really about their status, their reputation, their political position or what, you know, and it's unfortunate. They're always going to be there. But with a better understanding and developing the quality of thought, we've actually developed the intellectual self-defense to not be swayed by them. And that's what I encourage, right? Yeah. Right now, back to that castle, actually, you know, one of the problems is with the materialistic science-based evidence extremists, they have all this knowledge, and it's great, but because they don't have the understanding is basically what puts it all together. That's how this whole thing was built, right? You may have a bunch of wood, bricks, nails, and all that stuff, and you have this pile of material, Johnny, but you need a plan, an understanding of how that fits together to create our profession or our home. And what it's blows my mind that these people, some of them, not all of them, and they're a small group, they look at their pile of material and find it so superior to this majestic castle or house. And they're demanding that the house be torn down into a pile of material matches theirs. Because their perception is the material, the science, is all we need. And to neglect the reasoning that has put it all together. Yeah. Right? There was a paper, I think, like chiropractic profession, one unhappy marriage, and would we be better split up? And when I look at the authors, I'm like, Matt, what you're doing, there's already professions that do what you're doing. So it's like you're having a house party there in, I think, Atlanta, so I don't know. And all your friends are there, and I come in with a small group. And because you're a great guy, like most people in this profession, you say to me, because I start making demands, I don't like the music, I don't like the food, but I'm going to stay. And then just to make me happy, you give me a little bit. You're like, okay, I'll change the music a little. Okay, I'll also provide these drinks and this food, Travis. And then it gets to the point that I'm asking you to leave your house. And that's what's happened to this profession. That they're in here doing like things that are not chiropractic and demanding that the chiropractors leave the house that they built. And that certainly illustrates no effort to have an understanding. And it's like retrograde. It's like, let's move backwards. Mm-hmm. Chiropractic was so forward thinking when it was developed, right?
Yeah.
Like this whole new paradigm, right? We're going to increase the health and not like really treat these symptoms. How do we increase function, adaptability, and health? Because this other method has been failing miserably. And now it's like this profession is going in retrograde. We're moving back. Let's go back to this failed way, which is interesting when more and more medical doctors are actually starting to accept and realize the validity of the original chiropractic objectives and principles.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Some in our profession who, unfortunately, they're probably good people, but something happened. It's like, I think the schools play a big part. If the faculty, the students are in such a precarious position, you know, especially here in Europe, there's so many stories I can tell you where they just get bullied by the faculty, right? And all in the name of academic freedom, which sounds romantic. But if I can address it, it's really just a joke. Academic, you probably know, I like etymology of words, right? So academy comes from academos. This is the grove or valley where Plato used to speak or give his lessons. I think it was like a plot of land owned by some other dude named Academus. I don't know, like an Athenian in Trojan War. So academic freedom is the freedom of the institution or the business, right, this place, to say what they want, when they want, with no repercussions, even if it's wrong, incorrect, or untruthful. That's academic freedom. And today, not just in chiropractic, but at large, academic freedom pretty much almost is synonymous with a violation of intellectual freedom. Hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Intellectual freedom, or intellect. Intellect is the sum of cognitive facilities, except for the senses and imagination, or the capacity for reasoning truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Intellectual means discerned by understanding, not by the senses or emotion, right? So your freedom, ability of self-determination, intellectual freedom, is being stifled by academic freedom.
Hmm.
They stand up on the noble podiums in the name of academic freedom. So what we have are professions being led by academics instead of intellects.
Hmm.
There is a deficiency of intellects and a toxicity of academics. And Absolutely. When that changes, which is basically the academic is judging and using discernment by the senses only, science, right? Just what you can observe through the senses. And that's what research is. It's controlled observation. We're going to control some variables and to get some knowledge. Great. But intellect, this is the capacity for reasoning truth, so that the knowledge you acquire, you can actually make something useful of it, right? And you can check and evaluate systematically, reliable, reproducibly. It is what we need to take that material and build the house or build this profession. And I would say that when that changes, there'll be a lot more unity because people will be coming together based on a foundation that doesn't change. It's mm-hmm. in, we'll never, this profession, I can tell you, there'll never be unity and we'll never come together so long as the base is science, because science is forever changing.
Yeah.
So what are you going to unify around? That'd be like trying to unify around your emotions. Well, however you're feeling today, that could change in 5 minutes or tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to base it on science, we might as well base it on emotions and our personal beliefs. But reasoning and the principles of reasoning and logic, that is something that's stable, right? I can rely and depend on addition and subtraction, right? That doesn't change. You and I can come together there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can do the same thing with reasoning and logic once we understand those operators and we define our terms and we practice better communication with one another and attempt understanding. And of course it's difficult. It takes work. Knowledge is easy, and speaking is easy. Understanding requires intellectual rigor. So I guess you could say the hallmark of many of our academics, the hallmark characteristic is intellectual irresponsibility, intellectual laziness. And I know these are harsh criticisms, but they're fair.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what I want to do real quick is take a quick break, but I wrote some really great notes down and I'm going to keep picking your brain here after we come back. But I want to just encourage everybody, while we're having this conversation, because this is a different, I love having Dr. Corcoran on because it's a different tone of the podcast. It's like, this is where we sit down and we learn, right? Like this is me. Like, I feel like I'm learning so much right now, and it's not the classic conversation of business, marketing, here's how you get people in the door, here's how you retain them, here's how you do this. And it's like, no. This is so much deeper than any of that, because without this conversation that you and I are having, none of that can be possible. And that is what I really want to urge people to understand. So stick with us. We will be back after this short break. And then when we do come back, I'm going to ask a couple questions and dive a little bit deeper. We're going to keep going deeper and deeper here into reasoning, logic, and actually the application now of it to chiropractic. So we'll be right back, guys. Every chiropractic clinic needs a compliance program. If you are not sure what that includes or why you need one, let Dr. Robin from RHDC Consulting help you build your chiropractic compliance. If you are ready to get started, head to robin-hale.mykajabi.com and let Dr. Robin guide you to the end result. Imaging Services' primary business is chiropractic solutions. With over 45 years in the industry of helping chiropractors, Michael Tokash offers free consultations on building your business. In the past year, Imaging Services has installed over 100 x-ray machines and digital x-ray systems in over 42 states across the United States. For more, head to theimagingservices.com. The 56-day chiropractic bootcamp, building badass female chiropractors who are instinctively successful. Head to 56daychirobootcamp.com/legendary for your free endless referrals cheat sheet now. Thank you for allowing this brief disruption to take place. And now back to the program. Sweet, guys. Welcome back to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. We're live with Dr. Travis Corcoran, and we're talking all about unifying chiropractic. And it might, for those of you just joining us, that might sound like a large conversation, and it is, right? And we're just, we're two people. I'm a student still, and Dr. Travis has been out in the game for a very long time. And, we're trying to talk about and reason through what is taking place right now currently in the state of the chiropractic profession and how we can better overcome differences to move forward. Because once we do that, once we overcome these differences and move forward, that is when we actually make a difference in the profession. And so I want to urge everybody and I want to encourage everybody to ask questions, figure out, you know, what is actually taking place here, and understand what's truly going on. So, Dr. Travis, are you still there? He is not. Okay, let's see what happens if we go like this. Let's see if I can get him off of here and then call him back. Hold on, bear with me, guys. Let's see here. Okay. So we're going to try and call Dr. Travis back here and get him back on the screen. There we go. I think we did it. Oh, you're good. Yeah. I was like, oh, I think we lost him. No, this is good. I was just saying how unifying the profession is a large conversation, but we're trying our best that we can to really understand, you know, where each other are coming from so that we can unify and move forward as a profession. Because when we move forward, how we move forward is truly understanding one another and then building and using reason as that movement forward. So I want to touch on one major thing here, Doc, and that is how explain for myself and viewers, explain reason as it applies to chiropractic. What are we supposed to consider reason and logic within chiropractic as, like, so when we say it is the base, it is the foundation, what are those things that we are referring to? Are they specific things? Are they the principles? Are they, what is it or they, right?
Right. Well, I would recommend someone just take an introductory logic course. That's a great place to start. And really, I know it sounds crazy, but it's unfortunate that's not a, like, part of our education. You know, where I'm learning the capital of all these countries in Europe and blah, blah, blah. We're not learning in school, in primary school, I would say. Like, it would be, you're learning math, which is derived from logic. All the mathematical principles are derived from logic. So in a way, we're kind of familiar with it, but we don't know how to apply it to quality or statements or language. Math is logic basically applied to quantity. So math is what you use to systematically evaluate quantity. Logic is no different, except it measures quality of statements or arguments. And the reason it's so important, and it, like I said, it is the basis of chiropractic. D.D. Palmer didn't read a bunch of peer-reviewed studies about chiropractic. He had some knowledge, and he reasoned out a solution and then executed it. Right. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he wasn't going to technique seminars. Right. They didn't exist. And neither did the principles and our philosophy at the time. It was developed later. But the guy had an inkling of understanding. He, like, OK, he sees some available scientific knowledge at the time. And he deduced some incredible conclusions, valid conclusions, and acted upon those. So where does reason come into chiropractic? Well, first, I would study reasoning and law, study logic, take an introductory logic course. It's not as difficult as you think. And you don't have to get all crazy lunatic like myself and do truth tables and predicative logic and all that stuff, although it would be helpful. but remember, without it, How can you develop a technique, right? It must conform to reason if it's to be of any value. Same with the science. It's of no value if you're not asking the right questions and properly applying or understanding what data points have been derived. What do they really mean? Without understanding, it's just data, right? And then the same with our principles and philosophy, right? They are deductively valid. I think probably the best book is David Koch's book. He basically rearranged those 33 principles, and they're really it's a great way to speak to anyone who's somewhat conversant in science. You read his principles, Now, a lot of the purists like flipped out because, oh, you can't change the order. Well, the moment you understand anything about logic, the premises can be in any order. That does not invalidate the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So just that alone would really, I think, cool down all these like purists and extremists. Is that, relax, man. Get to understand. Know what logic is, and you'll see there was no violation of any of the principles of logic there, right? And at that point, I would engage. I rarely engage in discussions about subluxation and innate intelligence of these things. Although in private, I do, but that's with people who have already like I know that they are somewhat conversant in knowledge, understanding, wisdom. That they know how to define their terms. Draw valid conclusions through understanding and reason and logic, and they are respectful communicators.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, yeah, I'll discuss those things with someone, but I don't really care to get in a heated, passionate battle of conviction biases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where reason and logic has its place.
Yep.
First, introductory course in logic. I think I sent you, did you get that PDF that you just asked for the other day?
I did, yeah. Yep, I thought I replied, but maybe I didn't.
It's all right. But those are good places to start. That's how I recommend to everyone The Lost Tools of Learning by Dorothy Sayers, which is, like, I'm saying 25. It's not that long. It's really short. And which just gives an overview of the trivium, or the first three liberal arts, in her own way. And then the best is the trivium. By Sister Miriam Joseph. I think that is going to cover everything I'm talking about in incredible depth. And if you think this conversation is dry, you are in for a ride when you get that book. But it is of tremendous value, like I hope this conversation is.
Yeah, yeah. And I absolutely think it is too, because like I said before we went on that short break, it's a different tone. It's a different conversation, and if we want to go talk about tone, we can. DD was all about tone, but changing the tone up, understanding what is actually taking place, and then applying the knowledge that we've encountered, because speaking from a chiropractic student standpoint here, we acquire so much knowledge and so much different and varying knowledge that it's very hard to deduce what is right versus what is wrong. Yeah. And I'm and it's really, really tough to come out with of chiropractic school or chiropractic education and conclude and say, you know, I know these things because I went through this process. It's like, no, I know these things because I went through this process because that's what I was passionate about. That's where my heartstrings pulled me. And that's where my gut told me to go. Those are the directions. Yeah. So that as a chiropractic student, I see a huge, huge disconnect, even with like the different, you know, we can talk about different schools and like how each school has their own, you know, camp and feel and philosophy and all of that stuff. And that's not the way it should be. Because here's the thing, right? It's if we're basing the chiropractic profession on reason, if we're basing the chiropractic profession on logic and understanding, right? And saying, okay, here are the 33 chiropractic principles, or here's the vertebral subluxation, and now we have reason behind it, and we teach via intellect versus academia, it's a completely different conversation and a completely different foundation that you're coming out of chiropractic school with than you would have had coming in and or going out now in our day and age, right?
100%, Johnny. We, like I said, the students are in a very precarious position, and I definitely feel for them. It's really unfortunate. It's so weird. You are, as a student, I was as a student, you're the client, and the academy is the business. You pay them. Their revenue comes from you, right? And so you expect a fair exchange of value. And the thing is, if you're you want to express your intellectual freedom, power of self-determination, intellect, the discernment by understanding, not by the senses alone, right? So your intellectual freedom, if you dare express it, and it is contradictory or in conflict to the academic party line, you're going to be bullied or threatened. And I've seen it numerous times here in Europe. I've often heard hear it less in America, but I'm sure it happens there too. And the student feels like, well, I don't want to rock the boat because I just want to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can hold my grades or ciphers hostage from me and keep. So I've invested this money and I just want to get through, but I'm being threatened by faculty to not speak about this or not to have this discussion, to not even ask a question. It is a really unfortunate position that students are in and that have to put up with that. It's a tremendous stress that I don't think they should have to bear. And like you were just saying earlier, they won't have to if we actually had logic and reasoning at the base, right? Then this wouldn't happen. Yeah. You'd have students that are investing their money and getting a fair exchange of value. Right now, you're a client who is basically held hostage by the institution you pay money to. Now this is not every school, but it happens. And yeah. And I don't want to name schools. I don't want to name people, but I get reached out to all the time by students. This last year has been ridiculous. I mean, it's. And you want to do everything you can, but I know that the students sometimes don't want to, you know, take action or course because they want to pass. They just want to get through. And so what happens is with that attitude, well, I just want to get through, then this continues. It's like a form of abuse, like a parent abuses the child. You know that child has a higher chance of going on to be a child abuser themselves. So I know this isn't as extreme, but this sort of academic abuse gets passed on. And that's why the next generation of faculty at that academy is likely to do the same thing. And this produces students who come out and say the most ridiculous things. There's still students that come out, and I hear it all the time. We need more research. I'm like, why do you think? What about the truckloads of evidence and research right now? Has that even ever been shown to you or given to you? Have you been made aware of all this?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just following the party line of an instructor, professor, or administrator who says there is none or that the evidence isn't good enough to their standard? And they're only saying that because that's what they were told. They're the victim of the abuse, and it gets passed on and on. And so students come out really... like we talked about at the beginning, we're coming full circle. They come out with no certainty, no confidence, and they think the only savior is going to be that next low back pain study, and then we are legit. When the first client of chiropractic didn't even have low back pain and got pretty damn good results, right? So there's actually mountains of evidence, but no one's looking at it. There's mountains of research, but the students are not being exposed to it. They're not being made aware of it. And so they fall victim to the academy, and intellectual freedom suffers. But good news, Johnny, academic freedom reigns supreme, right? I'm trying to joke about it because it really is horrible what's happening to the students. I do as much as I can. I have 2 chiropractic students downstairs right now, and next weekend I've got 2 more on the way. Like, seriously, this house is like a hostel for chiropractic students.
I love it. It's interesting because it is, you and I kind of off camera before this episode even started, and before this podcast even started, we were talking about, you know, the environment of a chiropractic student, and it's really a challenge to decipher what is right versus what is wrong. But I also think that it's such a passion-driven, emotional-driven decision. And if we look, right, in business, right, we always say, don't reinvent the wheel. Well, here's the thing. Chiropractic schools have attempted to reinvent the wheel when it comes to education. Why? I have no idea. I don't get it. I don't understand, like, especially here in America, and I don't know if it's the same overseas, but like here in America, they're all private institutions, right? And so it's all privately funded. And so now we have this conversation of they have to make money, and now it's a business, and now it's not, the government doesn't step in, help out. You know, there are certain things that don't get done. But there are also certain things that, just simple things, as if like, I'm trying to think of a good example, but for example, like student accounts or something along those lines, like registrar's office. And this goes for every chiropractic school. It's different at every chiropractic school. The reason being is because everyone thinks they have to go in and figure it out themselves. But in reality, they just have to look down the street at what, you know, a successful college, undergraduate college is doing. And it's like, that's pretty good. You know, that's just a pretty good thing. And it's interesting because this is a different conversation. And it kind of, as we're coming up on the end of our talk here, it's like, this is always what happens, Dr. Travis, is why you're going to be on next podcast, next season as well, is because now we have to have the educational talk, right? It's like, first we talked about reason, logic, and knowledge and wisdom, but now we're talking about unifying the profession based on reason and intellect, and now we need to talk about, right, chiropractic education, and it's a completely different conversation. We just are scratching the tip of the iceberg here, but it's so fascinating to me that, you know, this chiropractic student paradigm is completely different than what you would experience if you were in America going to a university for your undergraduate degree. And that to me is so shocking, but also, also it's interesting to kind of be in it.
Like what you were saying, I like how you said, like, you know, I just don't get it. And I was like, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, of course not, because it does not conform to reason.
Right.
it is, of course you don't get it. It
right.
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's unfortunate matter.
It is.
If it can be corrected. I'm, like I said, I'm an idealist. I know, you know, there's a lot of people, Johnny, in this profession that really have the knowledge, that really have the understanding. But after a while, and I understand where they're coming from, they get a little salty. They're like, mm-hmm. I've been in this fight for a while, and they're like hardened veterans, you know, and honestly, their rhetoric, by the way, these are people I admire and respect, but sometimes their rhetoric on social media can be quite abrasive. And I'm not judging them. I get where it comes from. I mean, after a while, you've got to get so frustrated that you, and I forget who said that to me, but you just get salty after a while, and you're like, you know? And I'm trying to surround myself with enough people that I don't get isolated, salty, and abrasive. I'm trying to stay positive about it. And like I said, till now, I'm still an idealist.
Doc, before we go on our last break here and come back, it's a conversation about really understanding that it's not an argument of science, art, and philosophy. And I think moving away from that is so important that we, you know, it's not, hey, Dr. Travis, your philosophy is this, mine's this, blah, blah, blah. It's not that argument. It's not what school do I, it shouldn't be, and that's another school conversation. Yeah. It shouldn't be what school do I go to based on its philosophy. No, it should be what school do I go to is going to give me the best intellectual education when I leave there.
That's what, what you're saying is actually spot on. There's no point for it. We need to replace argument with understanding.
Right.
Everyone's like eager to fight instead of to understand. And like what you said, you go, it shouldn't be, this is your philosophy, this is my, of course it shouldn't be that way, because those are declarative statements.
Yeah.
Right? Those are not questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's illustration enough that there's no attempt at understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding begins with a question, right? Because you want to first acquire some knowledge. Then you're going to put it together. Is this reasonable? Does it conform to logic? Right? And that starts with questions. But many discussions within chiropractic, mostly from the academics, are declarative. And like I said before, it's appeal to hypocrisy. They project onto their perceived opponents the very thing they're doing. They call people dogmatic, fundamentalist, blah, blah, when in fact, they're really the one. I mean, look at those WSC principles. We believe was in there six times, right? And they call the other extreme, like religious. This is the one that's got six beliefs out of their 20 principles. Principles. And they start with the word believe. Mm-hmm. This is a problem. This is a problem.
Yeah.
And it can be worked out so long as whoever wrote that is willing to ask questions and develop an understanding. Often, once you get so high in politics, though, it's very difficult. It's just, well, I need to attack my opponent. That's the typical modus operandi.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about this next thing, and it's about moving into closing out here, but it's about the understanding of public perception and chiropractic and tying the two together, because when we base an argument or we base something off of science or some evidence-based thing that's always changing and should always be changing, because it's hopefully getting better, and
if it's not changing, it's not science.
Exactly. And so we need to talk about how that applies to now this public perception. But we're going to do that right when we come back. Dr. Stu Hoffman, founder and president of ChiroSecure Malpractice Insurance, is the foremost expert in both risk management and risk avoidance. Understanding the everyday challenges of today's practicing chiropractor and the current public perception of chiropractic has made ChiroSecure the fastest growing malpractice insurance program of the last 28 years. Find out more at chirosecure.com. The IFCO is here to support you. Whether you are a chiropractic student, doctor of chiropractic, chiropractic organization, or member of the public, the International Federation of Chiropractors and Organizations is here for you. They recognize and support your right to practice and receive vertebral subluxation-centered chiropractic care and are here to ensure that right and spread access to that care throughout the world. Head to ifcochiro.org/legendary for more. Be sure to give our friends over at Chiro Hustle a listen. They are bringing together some of the biggest names in the profession and learning from the greats. Chiro Hustle creates a safe space where chiropractic leaders share their stories and their passions with the world. Let's get hustling by heading to chirohustle.com now. Thank you for allowing this brief disruption to take place. And now back to the program. Great. Welcome back to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast with Dr. Travis Corcoran and myself, Johnny Reuter. We're going to just go into closing remarks. We're coming up on an hour, obviously, and all of you who are staying tuned and joining us, I love this. This conversation is so different than everything else that we have on this podcast, and that's why I asked Dr. Travis to come back on every season from here on out, probably. And it's just the way it goes. It's the way the cookie crumbles, and when you learn so much and you actually begin to have these conversations, this shouldn't be the last time this is spoken about, right? And I want to encourage everybody, like, take this, listen to it again, talk with your chiropractic friends and colleagues about this conversation, and don't be argumentative about it. That's not the point of this. This is to have a legitimate conversation of are you understanding of this isn't a conversation or emotional argument based on science, art, and philosophy. This is saying we need to get back to what we as chiropractors like to call the root cause, or we're going to call it the base in this experience, or this foundation, right, of intellect and reason. And if we base chiropractic education on that, we base our practices on that, and how we actually do chiropractic, then all of a sudden we have this amazing, amazing profession, and one that really the public can understand. And because, like Dr. Travis said, there's plenty of research out there right now. Obviously, there's always room for more and improvement because science is always changing. But at the same time, we need to maintain or re-solidify what we actually are as chiropractors and chiropractic, and go out there and tell the public, hey, this is who we are and what we do. And hopefully, you know, it's easily digestible. Doc, what are your closing remarks here?
I like what you said. And this is often when I speak or I'm in a little conference or a workshop or seminar, inevitably someone always asks, and it's a great question, like, how do we get to the public? How do we talk to the public? How do we change their perception? Well, let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's make sure that chiropractors understand chiropractic.
Yeah.
I mean, the public doesn't stand a chance to understand what we do until, like, the academics of this so-called academics really understand what we do too. So when chiropractors understand chiropractic, well, then, like, back to those three liberal arts, when you know, when the individuals within this profession, when they know chiropractic, understand chiropractic, and they can speak eloquently about it, well, then there's no problem. The public will happily jump on board. But the problem is, we got chiropractors that attack other chiropractors, attackers that get angry, because they're not looking to understand. They're looking to argue. They want to fight. And that's often probably the easiest way to make yourself feel better is to take others down. And unfortunately, that's how children play in the schoolyard, but we are professionals. So it's our responsibility to know our profession, understand our profession, and then speak highly of it and speak highly of our colleagues. Often it can be difficult, but if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all. That's just how it goes.
It's pretty simple. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Well, I hope you choose to join Dr. Trapp. Go ahead, Doc.
I do have to make one thing, because I'm so excited about this, and it's 2020, September 2020, I think, the 22nd or 24th, some amazing chiropractors in Australia, Shady and Sally, are putting on this, they do it every year, but I think this may be one of their last years. They're getting a little tired, I don't know, but they are some of the most amazing chiropractors I've ever met. They're a lot of fun, and they are the greatest hosts. And they're putting on this event called Kairos to Cairo. It's 2 weeks. I did it in 2018. Best trip of my life. And if there's any way to see Egypt, it's to do it with those two. And and they also have like a chiropractic speaker. This year it's going to be me, so I feel obligated to talk about it. But also because if you ever want to see Egypt, this is the way to do it. It's a small group. And they tend to every wish, every command. They are consummate hosts. It is amazing that I learned a lot about just service from those two. And I would recommend this trip to anyone before it fills up, because it is very limited. And then for anyone, there's a big if for those of you in America. Axiom Seminar, September 4th and 5th. It's in Amsterdam. If you like Amsterdam, you're looking for an excuse to come to Europe and check out Amsterdam, I would highly recommend the Axiom Seminar as well.
Awesome.
And that's it. I had to make those two shameless plugs. You know, I don't have any products or anything to sell, but two things that I really stand behind, and that the IFCO and the upcoming Scotland College Chiropractic.
I mean, you don't have any products to sell yet, Doc. That's the word you're missing there. That's the word you're missing there. I think if you do, you know, an introductory series to Logic, I think that would sell pretty nicely.
but let's know when it comes out. You can plug it for me.
There you go. Absolutely. So September 4th and 5th, Axiom in the Netherlands. Beautiful place, and Dr. Jonathan Verderame and Dr. Travis put on an amazing, amazing event over there. And I am super excited for that. That's Axiom September 4th and 5th. I believe, what is it axiomseminar.com?
Axiomseminars.com, I believe.
Awesome. Yeah. Axiomseminars.com. And then September 22nd through the 24th, Kairos to Cairo. And that is, a trip for chiropractors to Egypt. And that, I think you can find that on Facebook pretty easily. At least I've been seeing it circulate around a little bit. I'm not sure if they have a website, but if they do, we'll try and drop it in the comments as well.
Yeah, I'll put put a link on there, Johnny, for both Kairos to Cairo and Axiom Seminar.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. So Axiom September 4th and 5th, and then September 22nd and 24th, Kairos to Cairo. Both of those obviously are in 2020. And then end of January for any Life University students, end of January, Dr. Travis is going to be in town. We're not sure if he's putting on some sort of event yet or not. But a student reached out to me and said that, he'll be in town. And then obviously before this interview, we kind of chatted about it, but he will be in town. We're not sure if there's going to be an event yet or not, but, he's in town for an IFCO conference. So be sure to connect with him if you're interested in asking more questions or if you just want to meet him and hang out. So that's going to be end of January. I think it's January 24th, 5th, and 6th that you'll be in town, but we're not sure if anything's going to be going on yet with the student realm. But everyone watching, thank you so much for watching. Thanks for tuning into the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast if you're listening on audio. And Dr. Travis and I always have a great time and we always laugh a lot, but we also have serious conversations about what is necessary to be talking about right now. And this actually changed my paradigm a little bit about, you know, where is the conversation supposed to be based? How are we supposed to be communicating with one another? Because a lot of times, you know, with this podcast, with bringing different people on board, you kind of start to develop some haters. And it's interesting when people reach out to you and they're like, I don't like what you're doing. And you're like, well, that's a bummer. But at the same time, it's not about, you know, it's not about them. It's not about me. It's about uniting this profession. It's about bringing uplifting this profession and really elevating it into everything that it can be. So this paradigm shift of meaning going from a philosophical based premise and discussion to a more reason and logic and intellectual conversation is completely different than what we were based in before. And so I want to thank you, Dr. Travis, for not only being on the show, but helping me, you know, kind of open my lens and viewpoints a little bit, as always.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And the next time, Johnny, someone says to you, they don't like what you're doing, just ask them, do you understand what I'm doing?
It's a good point. It's a good point. So head to with that. I mean, that's mic drop, but head to thelegendarychiropractor.com. And I also want to tell everybody that we are completely rebuilding our site from scratch. You are going to be able to do so many things. And I'm going to post a little ad and commercial in probably a month or two. But it's not going to be ready until about mid-year because we're trying to also develop an app to go along the Legendary app. And so that's all going to be awesome. You're going to be able to post jobs, find jobs, post seminars, find seminars. I mean, you name it, it's going to be on the application. So please, please, please reach out to me if you have any suggestions like, hey, John, you know, I'm a chiropractic student or I'm a doc who's been out for 5, 10, 15, 45 years and say, hey, I really wish I had this resource. Boom, we'll add it. We're literally building it from scratch so we can do anything and everything anyone wants. So I love and appreciate all of you. I thank you, Dr. Travis, for being on the show. I thank you all for watching. And for now, I suppose that's it. The next conversation that we have will probably be next season. And I think that based on whatever you want to talk about, but I think we're going to have to sprinkle in some chiropractic education into there as well.
We'll make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for watching. Have a great, great evening or wherever you're tuning in from. Have a great day. Rest of your day today. Love you guys. Bye. Again, I'm your host, Johnny Reuter, and you're listening to the Legendary Chiropractor Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for engaging with us on all of our platforms, including, but not limited to, Facebook and Instagram, all at The Legendary Chiropractor. Be sure to check our home site out at thelegendarychiropractor.com, as we have much to offer for prospective chiropractic students, current chiropractic students, recent chiropractic school graduates, and even veteran doctors of chiropractic out in the field. And lastly, I'd like to thank not only you, our listener, but also our podcast sponsors. Without them, this show wouldn't be possible. So I encourage you to go check out their websites and what they have to offer in the show notes for this episode. Thanks again. Stay legendary, my friends.